April is Alcohol Responsibility Month. Empower kids to say yes to a healthy lifestyle and no to underage drinking. A message from... It's important to have conversations with your kids that emphasize healthy living and saying no to underage drinking.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have Joe Mullinax. He is the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and columnist for Bluff City Media. These outlets cover the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies. And he is also an NBA writer for the Step Back and SB Nation NBA. We discuss currently what's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. Also, we discuss head coach Taylor Jenkins. Also, the NBA's popularity in Memphis. We also discuss FedEx Forum, where the Grizzlies play at. And, of course, we discuss Ja Morant and so much more from Joe coming up on this edition of the program. And, of course, we have your latest league leaders, standings, and where we stand in terms of playoff seeding and also what's going on in the possible positions for the play-in tournament. It's a lot going on, so we got a great show for you coming up on this edition. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Dallas Mavericks. You talk about a fall from grace. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were the biggest fishes in the pond at this year's trade deadline. A lot of high hopes for Kevin Durant landing with the Phoenix Suns. So far, so good. Phoenix is poised to be a playoff team. For the Dallas Mavericks, expectations were very high, not just with Kyrie arriving in Dallas, but also Luka Doncic. Kyrie, Luka, potential at least to make the playoffs, maybe a finals run. Long term, we didn't know about that, but the short term looked really good. Well, you talk about a fall from grace after Kyrie and Luka both out with injuries. Since the All-Star break, or should I say, since the trade deadline, February, the end of February was not kind to Dallas. They would lose their last two games in the month of February, finishing that month 5-6. Let's move over to the month of March, under 500, a record of 5-9. And then currently in the month of April, a record of 1-3. You talk about a fall from grace, something, a combination that we thought would wreak havoc, at least in the short term, in the NBA, but in that tough Western Conference, it just went from bad to worse. Jason Kidd, he can't believe it. He didn't know what happened. Well, I know what happened. First thing that happened was injuries to both stars, Luka and Kyrie. Number two, personalities. Luka Doncic is a big personality, and we know Kyrie Irving is a big personality as well. Also, number three, their playing styles. Their playing styles are very similar. Luka, ball dominant. He has to have the ball in his hand at all times. Kyrie Irving, same way. You know, we know Kyrie Irving is box office. We know that he's a box office attraction. But similar to Luka, he has to have the ball in his hand and he has to be the try to hit the game winner or at least be the leader at all times. And also, I'll give you another reason why things have gone wrong in Dallas. Again, I mentioned earlier about Luka and Kyrie both having to be the leaders. They're both number ones. Both of them have never been number twos. They're both number one. They both have to be the lead dogs. I think what hurt Dallas first in the offseason, losing Jalen Brunson, not just in sports, but just in life, everybody wants to be number one, but nobody wants to be a number two. And to be quite honest with you, a number two is actually more valuable and holds more weight than a number one. With a number one, there's pressure. All of the lights are on a number one, whereas a number two can breathe a little bit and there's really no pressure. Number twos actually propel a number one and other players to major status, not just in life, but especially in professional sports. With losing Jalen Brunson to the New York Knicks in free agency, and rightfully so, you have to remember, it is a business, and New York gave him a sweet deal, and the Knicks have benefited tremendously from having Jalen this season as the Knicks make their way to the playoffs. But when you lose that valuable number two and you put two number ones playing together, that causes problems. And this is what we've seen this year. Well, actually, this is what we've seen for much of the second half of the year coming towards the end of the regular season. And there's going to be a lot of decisions that are going to be made in this offseason. We know Luka Doncic just a few years ago signed the big rookie Supermax extension, but Luka has expressed his frustration with Mark Cuban, Mavericks management, not really giving him the players that he needs in order to take Dallas and take his game to the next level. Kyrie Irving, listen, Kyrie 9 times out of 10, he won't be playing in Dallas next year. That's my opinion on this. He's probably going to head out west, and maybe him and LeBron maybe can kindle the magic again, maybe in L.A. like they did in Cleveland, or maybe Kyrie decides to go to the Clippers and maybe play alongside Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Who knows? But there's so many decisions, and there's so many unanswered questions in Dallas just this fall from grace. And I'm looking at it here. In the month of January, before the All-Star break and before the trade deadline, they went 6-9. In the month of February, they went 5-6. In the month of March, they went 5-9. And currently in the month of April, 1-3. Injuries, yes, but also the personalities and no number two. Man, wow. You talk about a fall from grace, and the Dallas Mavericks, they have a lot of questions to be answered in the offseason. And it's hard to believe that a year ago, Dallas played in the Western Conference Finals. And we thought Kyrie Irving was going to be somebody that was going to be the key ingredient or the missing ingredient to help Dallas get to that next level. Unfortunately, it wasn't. And again, as I mentioned earlier, Jalen Brunson was the perfect complementary piece to Luka, because remember, Luka is ball dominant. He has an alpha personality. He's a number one. Kyrie Irving is also a number one as well. But I tell you, number twos are so much more valuable because they bring the best out of everybody. And they're really an equalizer on a sports team. So Dallas, I want to know, I'm interested to see what's going to happen in the offseason, especially with Luka and the frustration that he's shown, especially during the second half of the season. My next storyline is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Los Angeles Lakers, again, making big strides they've moved up. You talk about, I mentioned earlier about Dallas having a fall from grace, and just, you talk about having misfortunes, especially in the second half of the year. Well, the Los Angeles Lakers are starting to reach their fortunes in the second half of the season. Again, with LeBron being hurt, Anthony Davis carried the load alongside Dennis Schroeder, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt. Also, D'Angelo Russell returned from injury. And how about the emergence of Austin Reeves? Man, Austin Reeves is just, he's really emerged as a possible sixth man of the year, which is what he looks like he can be for the Los Angeles Lakers. So LeBron returned from injury on March the 26th against the Bulls. They lost that game, but since then, since the loss to the Bulls on March the 26th, the Lakers have been on a roll. Let's see here. They played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the 6 games since LeBron's return from injury. They're currently 5-1. Anthony Davis, he has stepped up his game. We know what LeBron is going to do, especially towards the end of the regular season, going into the playoff run. D'Angelo Russell has been nice as well. Austin Reeves has played well as well. So are getting hot at the right time. And the Los Angeles Lakers are a perfect example of it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And how they're finishing is just phenomenal right now. Again, Anthony Davis, he's the X factor. He's really the missing link to helping the Lakers get where they need to be in the Western Conference and possibly, I say that word very strongly, possibly playing in the NBA Finals. But kudos to the Los Angeles Lakers. They've been red hot as of late, especially since the All-Star break, and particularly LeBron got hurt. Anthony Davis stepped up to the plate, and now with LeBron returning from injury, they seem to have everything together. And, of course, when you're in the playoffs, I mentioned about a number two being extremely important, but not just the number two, but a supporting cast becomes very vital and very pivotal when you're talking about postseason run. Yeah, Anthony's going to get his. LeBron is going to get his. But the supporting cast, they've got to get theirs as well. And certainly this looks like to be onward and upward as we march towards the playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers. And for my last storyline is going to be the Sacramento Kings. First of all, congratulations to the Sacramento Kings. It has been a long time coming. 17 years is a long time when you have not gone to an NBA playoffs, or as should I say, haven't made an appearance in an NBA playoffs. But guess what? At the end of March, the Sacramento Kings, they clinched their first playoff berth since 2006, ending the longest playoff drought in NBA history and the longest active postseason drought in the 4 major North American sports. Kudos to Mike Brown in his first year as head coach of the Sacramento Kings, and most likely will win the NBA Coach of the Year award. A solid roster. They play hard and they win very well. They have Harrison Barnes, who has championship experience with the Golden State Warriors, also an Olympic gold medal winner. You've also got, De'Aaron Fox is just like a I call him Sonic the Hedgehog, just fast running up and down the court, blazing speed. Blazing saddles. That's De'Aaron Fox. Also, Rashawn Holmes is a nice complimentary piece, doing the rebounding, getting the point in the paint. How about in the offseason when the Kings acquired Kevin Huerter from the Atlanta Hawks? Got to have some sharp shooters on your team, so big ups to Kevin Huerter for doing his part. Davion Mitchell's been complimentary as well. Malik Monk has really been good this year. He's really stepped up his game. How about Keegan Murray? I had a Sacramento Kings insider, a gentleman that hosts the podcast, and I asked him about Keegan Murray and his rookie campaign, and also asked him about Keegan's chances of possibly winning this year's Rookie of the Year. It's going to be most likely Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic that's going to win that award. But Keegan should definitely get some strong consideration for this year's Rookie of the Year. And how about Domantas, the league's leading rebounder? We talk about big men that can cause matchup problems and big men that are terrific passers. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, just to name a few. But people, you have to put Domantas Sabonis in that conversation as well. He is such a wonderful complimentary piece to the Sacramento Kings. Not only can he shoot, but also, too, he can play defense. And again, his rebounding is top-notch. What more can you ask from Domantas? So congratulations to the Sacramento Kings. Congratulations to their fans. It's been a long time coming, and it's hard to win in the NBA, and especially it's hard to win in the Western Conference. But again, a big special congratulations, to the Sacramento Kings for making the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll give you the current league leaders and standings in the association. You stay tuned. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
April is Alcohol Responsibility Month. Empower kids to say yes to a healthy lifestyle and no to underage drinking. A message from... It's important to have conversations with your kids that emphasize healthy living and saying no to underage drinking.
Your challenge, if you choose to accept it, is this.
Let's go! Let's go!
Show up on day one, work out with us for 30 minutes, feel good right away.
Yo!
Repeat 5 days a week for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
5 workouts a week.
We're a body, and we call that a body block.
You pick the block, and you're gonna love the experience.
On week four, this part is really important. Take the week off. Seriously, we mean it. Rest, go on vacation, or try something new. Maybe some yoga.
Notice you're not holding on to any tension here.
Or a dance class.
Get sexy with it, daddy.
You do you. And then start again.
Be committed to this process.
Choose a new body block each month. Get a new challenge each month. Have fun every day. Avoid burnout.
You're not going to quit on yourself today.
This is how you reach your goals. You in?
There is nothing that we can't do if we work together.
Sign up for your first body block today. Visit body.com for a free trial. That's BODI.com.
Are you ready to get started?
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes, give up on a workout, you failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're Body. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At Body, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not gonna let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are Body. Start your free trial at body.com. That's BODI.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
April is Alcohol Responsibility Month. Empower kids to say yes to a healthy lifestyle and no to underage drinking. A message from... It's important to have conversations with your kids that emphasize healthy living and saying no to underage drinking.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're Body. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At Body, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com. You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com. You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for the current league leaders and standings in the NBA. Let's start off with the current league leaders. Let's start off with points per game. The leading scorer in the NBA belongs to Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers. He's averaging 33 points per game. Coming in at number two, Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks. At number three, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. At number four, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. At number five, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. Next category is rebounds per game. At number one, I mentioned his name earlier, Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging 12 rebounds per game. At number two, from the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. At number three, Giannis Antetokounmpo. At number four, Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And at number five, Nikola Vucevic from the Chicago Bulls. Next category is assists per game. At number one, from the Philadelphia 76ers, James Harden. At number two, Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks. At number three, from the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. At number four, CP3, Chris Paul from the Phoenix Suns. And at number five, Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies. Next category is steals per game. At number one, from the Toronto Raptors, OG Anunoby. At number two, from the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler. At number three, Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. At number four, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And at number five, DeAnthony Melton from the Philadelphia 76ers. Next category is blocks per game. Coming in at number one, Jaren Jackson Jr. from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's currently averaging three blocks per game. At number two, Nick Claxton from the Brooklyn Nets. And at number three, Brook Lopez from the Milwaukee Bucks. At number four, Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz. And at number five, Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers. Category, field goal percentage. At number one, Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz. He's shooting 72% from the field. At number two, Nick Claxton from the Brooklyn Nets. He's shooting 70% from the field. At number three, Mason Plumlee from the Los Angeles Clippers. At number four, Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And at number five, Clint Capella from the Atlanta Hawks. Next category that we have is three-point field goals made. Coming in at number one half of the Splash Brothers from the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson. At number two, Buddy Hield from the Indiana Pacers. At number three, the other Splash Brother, Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. At number four, Donovan Mitchell from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And at number five, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. Next category, percentage. At number one, Luke Kennard from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's shooting 49% from three-point range. At number two, Damian Lee from the Phoenix Suns. At number three, Al Horford from the Boston Celtics. Also at number four, another Boston Celtic, Malcolm Brogdon. And at number five, Tyrese Maxey from the Philadelphia 76ers. Next category, free throw percentage. At number one, Tyler Hero from the Miami Heat. He's shooting 93% from the free throw line. At number two, Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns. At number three, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. At number four, one of the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. And at number five, Trey Murphy from the New Orleans Pelicans. And then the last category that we have is minutes played. At number one, Spicy P, Pascal Siakam from the Toronto Raptors. He's averaging 37 minutes a game. At number from the Boston Celtics. At number four, James Harden from the Philadelphia 76ers. And at number five, Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. And that takes care of the current league leaders in the association. Let's move over to the standings. And it's a lot of moving parts on the Western Conference. We'll talk about the West in just a moment. But basically, everything is a done deal in the Eastern Conference in terms of teams clinching playoff berths and clinching their positions in the play-in tournament. Let's start off with the Eastern Conference. The number one seed belongs to the Milwaukee Bucks. They currently have a record of 58-23. The number two seed belongs to the Boston Celtics. They have a record of 56-25. The Philadelphia 76ers are the third seed. They have a record of 53-28. The Cleveland Cavaliers are currently fourth. Cleveland is the fourth seed. They have a record of 51-30. The New York Knicks are the fifth seed. They have a record of 47-34. The Brooklyn Nets are currently the Brooklyn Nets are the sixth seed. They have a record of 45-36. Okay, so with the playoff seedings intact, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn are all in the playoffs. Those are seeds 1-6. So again, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn are all in the playoffs. They've punched their tickets. They are in. Let's continue. The seventh seed belongs to the Miami Heat. They have a record of 43-30. The Atlanta Hawks have the eighth seed. They have a record of 41-40. The Toronto Raptors are the ninth seed. They have a record of 40-41. And the Chicago Bulls are the 10th seed. They have a record of 39-42. All right. Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago have all punched their ticket into the play-in tournament. They are all in. Everything is good to go for them. So again, Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago, they are all in the play-in tournament. Remember, seeds 7-10 automatically qualify for the play-in tournament. So again, Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago are all in the play-in tournament. So again, Milwaukee, Boston, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn are all in the playoffs, while Miami, Atlanta, Toronto and Chicago will all be in the play-in tournament. And of course, the rest of the standings, Washington, Indiana, Orlando, Charlotte, and Detroit have all been officially eliminated from playoff contention. So it's a done deal in the Western Conference. It's all a done deal in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, not quite. It's a lot of moving parts. So let's get right to it. The Western Conference are as follows. Denver is currently the number one seed with a record of 52-28. The Memphis Grizzlies are currently the number two seed with a record of 51-30. The Sacramento Kings are currently the third seed. They have a record of 48-33. And the Phoenix Suns are currently the fourth seed with a record of 45-36. All right. So Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, and Phoenix are all in the playoffs. They have clinched their spots. They're in. So again, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, and Phoenix are all in the playoffs. They're all automatic bids. They punched their ticket. Now, here's where things get tricky. Here's where things are scrambled eggs, so to speak. Let's continue. Currently, the fifth seed belongs to the Golden State Warriors with a record of 43-38. The Los Angeles Clippers are currently the sixth seed with a record of 42-38. The Los Angeles Lakers are currently the seventh seed with a record of 42-39. The New Orleans Pelicans are hanging tough. They're 39. The Minnesota Timberwolves are currently the ninth seed with a record of 40-40. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 10th seed. They have a record of 39-42. Okay, so here's what we currently know right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder are in the play-in tournament. They're the 10th seed. They've clinched their seed in the play-in tournament, so they're in. However, the other teams that I mentioned earlier, it's still jockeying for position. We currently have Golden State, LA Clippers, LA Lakers, New Orleans, and Minnesota. Remember, the teams are only maybe two games or three games behind one another. So it's for the taking, not just for three spots in the play-in tournament, but even for two playoffs, for instance, the Lakers could move up. Don't count out the New Orleans Pelicans. Remember, the Pelicans made noise in the play-in tournament last year. Don't count them out neither, and don't count out Minnesota either, because this thing can go all over the place. Teams could fall or teams could move up maybe one, maybe two, maybe three spots. It's a dogfight in the NBA, and it's certainly a dogfight in the Western Conference. So this is what we know for sure. Denver, Minnesota, Sacramento, and Phoenix are all in the playoffs, and Oklahoma City has clinched their berth in the play-in tournament. However, Golden State, LA Clippers, LA Lakers, New Orleans, and Minnesota are fighting for either one of those play-in spots or possibly one of those playoff spots. It's going to be very interesting down the line towards the end of the regular season what happens in the Western Conference. It's just a dull moment. And let's finish with the rest of the standings in the Western Conference. So as I stated earlier, the Dallas Mavericks are in 11th place. They're officially eliminated from the playoff contention, also followed by Utah, Portland, San Antonio, and Houston. So Dallas, Utah, Portland, San Antonio, and Houston have all been officially eliminated from playoff contention. You know, Kool Moe Dee back in the day had a song called the Wild Wild West. And certainly it's been the Wild Wild West for such a long time. And the West just gets wilder as we make our way towards the finish line at the end of the regular season and march in to the play-in tournament and get ready for the playoffs. I tell you what, never a dull moment in the Western Conference and never a dull moment in the NBA. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Joe Mullinax. He's the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and columnist for Bluff City Media. These outlets cover the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies. He is also an NBA writer for the Step Back in SB Nation NBA. We discuss currently what's happening with the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, we talk Ja Morant, the NBA's popularity in Memphis, and much more. Joe is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
We did it. I still can't believe we got this project done so fast and so well.
When I'm in New York,
I'm in Chicago, and I'm in LA. But
we're making it happen in Miro.
Together. Our best work just happens faster on Miro's collaborative online whiteboard. No more scheduling meeting after meeting for work that could happen from anywhere. Whether it's getting design feedback here, mapping timelines here,
or brainstorming next steps here. It all just happens on the Miro board.
Exactly. And it's nice not having to wait an entire day to get sign-off from this guy.
Hey! Well, it is true.
See how Miro users save up to 80 hours every year by meeting less and doing more. Get on board at Miro.com. The first three boards are free forever. That's Miro.com.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. Presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Bain. He ran right out of the play. Smart play by Desmond Bain. Bain now in his third season. And he is an issue.
Yes, he is. Because he's gotten so much better at putting that ball on the floor.
Tyus Jones with Jaren Jackson running their half-court set. Of course, a great three-point shooter, Desmond Bain, and he's going to the line again. Desmond Bain trying to bang his way to it, and he got it. And great look for Bain. Wide open. Bain, he'll go to the rim. Why not? Nobody stopped him. Bain trying to get to the rim and will again. Bain and more in the paint. Bain, good thing. It'll be tapped away by Jonas just to keep it away. And now Dylan Brooks gets the triple. Second chance points. It'll be Dylan Brooks. You know he's aggressive.
He's and three of three from three.
Brooks and Trey battling through the pick. And it'll be a three-point opportunity for Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks in traffic with the flip.
Great shot. Yeah. That's a heck of a shot by Dylan Brooks.
On the deflection, Jaren Jackson Jr. And he does not get the roll, but second chance points. You just brought it up. This young man can hit that shot all the time, and that's Jaren Jackson Jr. Toss it inside. Jaren Jackson Jr.
See, now he's going to use his physicality. This is what I'm talking about.
Jaren Jackson, he wants to go back to a strong side, doesn't he? He got the left hand, and he worked it well. He's a righty. It'll be Jaren Jackson Jr. The floater will work. He wanted to go back to Jaren Jackson, and he'll get the layup. Bang. Thought about the three. It'll be Jaren Jackson, and he'll get the runner. Here comes that high screen for Jaren Jackson, and he got the layup out of it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and Bally Sports New Orleans. Joel Myers and Antonio Daniels on the call of the game between the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans from April the 5th of 2023, and that was Desmond Bain, Dylan Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr. in action. To talk more about the current happenings with the Memphis Grizzlies, also to talk about Taylor Jenkins, of course, Ja Morant, and the NBA's popularity in Memphis and so much more, let's welcome him back to the program. He's the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, which is dedicated to covering all things related to the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies. Also, he's a Memphis Grizzlies columnist for Bluff City Media and also an NBA writer for The Step Back and SB Nation NBA, Joe Mullinax. Hey, Joe, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it. It's exciting times in Memphis as the Grizzlies get ready for the playoffs.
Thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. It's exciting times happening right now, not just for the Grizzlies, but the NBA as a whole as we make our way towards the end of the regular season. So with the Grizzlies, a lot of impact players on this squad. I want to start off talking about Desmond Bane for a moment. When you talk about one of the premier sharpshooters in the NBA, one of the first names that comes to my mind is Desmond Bane. And again, another solid year for him. Give me your thoughts on Desmond and his play this season.
Well, one of the themes of Desmond Bane's season has been his ability to evolve, right? They talked about it on the audio clips that you played before I came on. The idea of him as a three-level scorer, that's a very real threat now. The idea of him as a creator off the dribble, also a very real threat, not just for himself, but for others. He can get to the basket. Downhill Dez is a new nickname that he's earned this season because he's very aggressive, very quick to the rim. He looks for his shot earlier in shot clocks, off the dribble, just him against a defender, finding space, whether it's from three, in the mid-range. He has really developed his offensive abilities. And it's been a lot of fun to watch unfold because obviously Ja Morant had his issues this season. Other guys have been in and out of the lineup, and Bane had his own toe injury that he had to deal with. But he's still among the very best three-point shooters in the entire NBA, as you alluded to. But he's added the ability to be more than just that marksman from beyond the arc. He can create as a primary facilitator in a backup point guard, a hybridized role. He, off the ball, can make major problems for a defense. If all you do is see him as a three-point threat, he is going to hurt you, and that obviously will help the Grizzlies' offense continue to evolve as the playoffs get underway here in the next week.
Absolutely, and you mentioned that Joe Desmond's game has evolved and is going to continue to get stronger as we march our way to the playoffs. And speaking of somebody, I want to stay just with shooters for a moment. Currently leading the NBA in three-point percentage is Luke Kennard. I tell you one thing, Joe, the Memphis Grizzlies made a steal in the trade deadline in acquiring Luke from the Los Angeles Clippers. Give me your thoughts on Luke and what his contribution is to the Grizzlies in the second half of the season.
Well, if you've been following the Memphis Grizzlies as long as I have, over a decade now, I can't help but think of the grit and grind teams that desperately needed three-point shooting next to Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol and Tony Allen and Mike Conley. And both of these guys, both Bane and Luke Kennard, would have been amazing fits in that way alongside those guys, and obviously they're great fits right now. I agree with your assessment that he's kind of been the under-the-radar trade deadline acquisition. People kept asking, why isn't he being played by the Clippers? What was the problem? You see what he did with the Detroit Pistons as a secondary facilitator, not to the level of Bane, but still capable of making his own shot and creating offense for others a little bit off the bounce. Obviously, one of the very best three-point shooters in the NBA, as you alluded to. Was it defensive troubles? Had he lost a step? He's only 26 years old, so that seems silly to me. Maybe the Clippers just messed up, to be honest with you. They didn't see the value in him for whatever reason. Sometimes a change of scenery can do a world of good, and it seems like that's exactly what's happened for Kennard. Now, he's had some defensive problems at times. Those have gone away over the last couple of weeks as he's gotten more comfortable in the Grizzlies' schemes and rotations. But his ability to shoot the three, at first when he came to Memphis, he was just kind of camped out in the corner, right? And hopefully dribble penetration happens the way that the Grizzlies' offense works and you kick out to the open Kennard. And his impact was not as clear because of that. But as time has gone on, they started running more sets and plays for him, coming off of off-ball screens, getting open and pick-and-pop kind of situations from three. He is really displaying his value to a Grizzlies team that, whether Steven Adams is out there or not, is going to continue to have half-court offense troubles. When those times arise, there's nothing better to help with that than to have a shooter that, at best case, is left open on dribble penetration, and you kick out for an open look from three. And as you mentioned, he's one of the best at the NBA at doing that, converting on those attempts. Or if a defender decides to stay home with the impressive shooter that is Luke Kennard, now you have more space for Ja Morant to operate in and around the paint. Now you have more room for Tyus Jones to hit, get off one of his patented floaters or find somebody cutting on the baseline. There's so much more versatility with this Grizzlies team and offense with Luke Kennard now in the fold. So it's exciting to watch him fit in, find his space and his place. He's going to be a pretty impactful piece for them heading into the postseason.
Indeed, it's going to be impactful because we know that, as they say, offense puts butts in the seats and defense wins championships. But you got to have defense and you got to have the long-range shooting. And Luke Kennard definitely brings that to the table in Memphis. And hopefully he'll could capitalize on that as the playoffs are right around the corner. You know, we talk about, you mentioned about the absence of a three-point shooter during the grit and grind era in Memphis. Well, Ja Morant had his absence. We'll get more into him a little bit later, but someone that filled in his absence was Tyus Jones. And coming on very strong, especially in the second half of the NBA season, give me your thoughts on Tyus and his play.
He's admirable as an insurance policy, right? And he's gotten a little bit better with Ja coming back as a true reserve, second unit, leader, point guard. But where Tyus has been best this season has been his ability to fill in for Ja. Tyus, the starter, has been so much better than Tyus, the backup point guard that's getting 14 to 16 minutes a night, spelling Ja Morant. And obviously, Tyus is never going to be a starter with the Memphis Grizzlies. So you want to see him do better as a creator for that bench unit or alongside other starters in the hybridized rotation that Taylor Jenkins likes to utilize, the head coach of the Grizzlies. So I am optimistic going into the playoffs. I've seen Tyus Jones have success at that level in that backup role. But the important thing is Tyus has to be able to maintain the level of play that he does when he is a starter for this team. Everybody talks about how he's a starter in the NBA. He's a starter in the NBA. That production is only there, at least over the course of this whole regular season, when he is, in fact, a starter. He's not bringing that same caliber of play to his reserve role. And because of that, the Grizzlies bench at times has struggled. Now there's reasons for that, right? They have rookies playing significant minutes. But Tyus and Brandon Clark, before Clark got injured in Denver, they had not had the best season together, which is pretty surprising considering how much success they had had prior to this season as a pairing off the bench. So I want to see Tyus continue to be a true reserve and be able to supplement what Ja does as opposed to only being his best when Morant is not in the game at all, because obviously that's not a path for success for the Grizzlies.
All right, and then I want to talk now about a player that's, let's just say he has developed a reputation of being one of the tough guys in the NBA, I guess being an enforcer, so to speak, and that's Dylan Brooks. We know Dylan, very active on social media, having war of words with a gentleman by the name of Draymond Green. We know they don't like each other, but I guess what Draymond Green is to the Golden State Warriors, Dylan Brooks is to the Memphis Grizzlies. Give me your thoughts on Dylan in his 2022 season.
Dylan is very much that guy that you love to have on your team and you hate when he's not on your team, when you're having to play against him. He is very much that, and you mentioned it, in a similar capacity to what Draymond Green brings to the Warriors. Dylan has been a roller coaster. He's been quite the ebbs and flows kind of player in terms of his defense being fairly consistent, his physicality, the way that he plays with an intensity that's really difficult to match consistently, the way that Dylan Brooks does at least. But offensively, you know, the last few games excluded, again, over the overall sample size of the season, it's been Dylan Brooks' worst offensive season of his career. And the unfortunate thing about Dylan Brooks is he has unshakable confidence. I say that's unfortunate because even when he's in a season-long shooting slump, that's not going to stop him from shooting the basketball most nights. So you're looking at a situation where Dylan Brooks is an important piece of this Grizzlies team. He contributes to winning, But in the obvious shooting categories that are fairly easy to keep up with, he is not successful, at least not compared to where he has been in the past or where fans think he should be. So as valuable as Dylan is, you know, looking at potential first-round matchups, maybe the Grizzlies take on the Lakers. Maybe the Grizzlies take on the Clippers. Maybe the Grizzlies take on the Pelicans, the Warriors, whoever it might be. A lot of these teams have at least one perimeter player that can score in bunches. They're going to need Dylan Brooks to try to offset that production in order to have any chance in a first-round playoff series. So Dylan is that necessary evil, which is fitting of somebody that is known as Dylan the Villain. He is a piece that they need to be successful, but they also need him to be able to be more careful and aware of his offensive production so that his defensive capabilities are best maximized.
For a moment, so we're making our way towards the playoffs, and we know that the the play gets hot and heavy, and it gets very intense. Do you think Dylan will let his emotions get the best of him, or do you think he'll be, quote-unquote, on his best behavior to give the Grizzlies a chance to win and to go far in this playoff run for this season?
One of the things about Dylan Brooks, man, is you can count on him to be himself, right? Like I said, he is unapologetically himself. So I think he'll keep walking the line, which is something that Dylan has done throughout his Memphis Grizzlies career. We have to remember, he's the longest tenured Grizzlies player now. So ever since he came into the league as a second-round pick and he had that chip on his shoulder coming from Oregon, he is going to be a guy that the way that he plays allows for him to do things that he shouldn't be able to do, at least in terms of his physical talent. Some of the baskets that he makes, some of the plays that he makes at the rim offensively, he shouldn't physically be able to do it, but he just has such a strong will and confidence in himself that it manifests in a lot of different ways, and some of them are not always desirable. So do I think that he is an intelligent person who understands that the playoffs are not the time to get your technical fouls in? Yeah, I think he understands that, but I also think he plays NBA basketball and basketball overall in such a fashion that he can't always control himself when it comes to that aspect. And depending on the matchup, that could create some issues, right? The Warriors are a great example. If it's Grizzlies Warriors in the first round again, or it's Grizzlies Warriors again, but this time in the first round, you know, Dylan Brooks is going to be in a situation where he has to, for at least four games, go up against Draymond Green and the like. And, you know, the Warriors don't like Memphis. So it'd be different if he's playing a team that they don't have that kind of rivalry with. I'm confident that Dylan is going to be as on his best behavior as he can be, with the understanding that that phrase means something different to Dylan Brooks than maybe it does to other players.
You mentioned a key word, rivalry. We've seen a lot of rivalries throughout the course of the history of the NBA. Lakers-Celtics, Lakers-Pistons, Celtics-Pistons, Lakers-Bulls, Celtics-76ers, Bulls-Knicks, Knicks-Heat, Bulls-Heat, just to name a few. Do you see the Warriors and the Grizzlies having the potential of being in that list in terms of rivalries in the NBA, or do you think this is only going to be like maybe a two-year, three-year run?
Potential. I think potential is the key word there. They're not on the level of those rivalries yet, but I do think there's the possibility. You know, if there's another playoff series between those two, it goes seven games this time. It's really competitive. You know, there's a lot of previously laid groundwork that would enable that to jump up a level or two if it were to come to that. Golden State, for whatever reason, I think that they see this organization in the Memphis Grizzlies as a team that is not really actually a threat to them, or if they do see them as a threat, they have a really good way of just trying to needle the Grizzlies and get them frustrated by saying they're not a threat. The Warriors like to show off their four fingers. Klay Thompson did that the last time the Grizzlies played the Warriors for the four rings that the Golden State Warriors have, all those sorts of things. Memphis has no rings, right? And I do think that a championship would allow for Memphis to say, here we are, we're ready for this. But that's not going to happen until the Grizzlies beat the Warriors in general, unless somebody else beats the Warriors. So Memphis needs to kind of get over that final boss, if that makes sense. On their way to true NBA Finals contention, they have to get past Golden State in some way, shape, or form. And until that happens, you know, the Warriors will always have those fingers to hold up, saying that they've done it in more meaningful games than the Grizzlies have.
All right, and then let's move along now to someone who has been meaningful for the Grizzlies in terms of not just his defense, but causing matchup problems with his long-range shooting, Jaren Jackson Jr. Man, what another phenomenal year for Jaren. Again, not only getting the points in the paint, but also getting points with his range and, of course, the defense leading the league in blocks per game. Give me your thoughts on Jaren and his season.
A massive season in terms of another leap. We talked about that earlier with Desmond Bane, and I think that Jaren is another great example of that. And it's really taken off over the last 10 to 12 games, partly because of Ja's suspension. He wasn't with the team. But he's really kind of evolved into this monstrous two-way threat who on one end of the floor defensively, you know, he should be the defensive player of the year. Now, if you want to make an argument for Brook Lopez or somebody like that, I think you can have a logical conversation. But in my opinion, the numbers, your eyes, not very many bigs are capable of doing what Jaren Jackson Jr. is capable of doing on the defensive end of the floor. And then on the flip side, you mentioned it, he's a walking mismatch. If you pair him with a center like Jonas Valanciunas from the Pelicans, Jaren's going to eat him alive in the pick and roll all game. He's not athletic enough to stay with him. If you put a four man on Jaren, Jaren is 6'11", 245 pounds, he has such a physical size advantage, and he has a decent enough handle that whether it's in the post or from the three-point line and driving to the rim, he can use his frame and his size in a variety of ways. He's not just a three-point shooter now. He is a dominant physical force on a night-to-night basis because he's better picking and choosing his spots in terms of matchups. So I've been very impressed with Jaren. That contract extension that he signed, essentially $100 million, but it's descending in value. That's only going to look better and better and more valuable as that contract goes if Jaren keeps playing this way. Oh, by the way, remember, Jaren is 23 years old, even though he's in his fifth season in the NBA. He is a 23-year-old young man. So still room for growth over the next couple of seasons with Jaren, which is exciting to say because this year has been a growing season. And, you know, he looks a lot like Giannis Antetokounmpo at times. Not as good as Giannis. He's not an MVP candidate just yet, but he has a similar game right now in terms of how he can dominate on both ends of the floor physically.
Indeed, Jaren is, as you say, he makes the case for being a candidate for the league defensive player of the year, and hopefully the Grizzlies can lock him down for a long-term deal. And speaking of somebody that they can have the potential to lock up for a very long time, and that's the head coach of the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins. Considering what Taylor has gone through this year with the Ja Morant situation and the other things that have happened with the team, Memphis clearly is going to be in the playoffs. Give me your thoughts on Coach Jenkins and his season.
Nobody other than Mike Brown in Sacramento has had a better season. I think when it comes to Coach of the Year, Mike Brown's going to be the choice. He makes the playoffs for the first time in 16 years or whatever it is. I think that's understandable. So shout out to the Kings, light the beam, all that sort of stuff. He should be the head coach or the coach of the year. I think Taylor Jenkins should finish second, and I think it's kind of crazy that he's not talked about more in that way. You hear folks talk about Mazzulla from Boston, Oklahoma City's head coach, and other names get put in front of Taylor on a fairly consistent basis, and I don't understand it. He has not had any of his starters. I think Dylan Brooks maybe is the one that's been most consistent. But, you know, between Bane and Jaren and Ja and Steven Adams, all of these guys have missed considerable amounts of time, at least for sustained periods. Brandon Clark suffers an injury. And the Grizzlies have so much depth, and they're so good at developing their talent. That developmental staff is so elite at this stage. You know, David Roddy, Santi Aldama, all these different players, John Conchar, that have been asked to do more than they probably should be asked to do, and yet they're helping produce for a basketball team that's won 50 games, that is likely to be the number two seed in the Western Conference in the NBA playoffs. I don't get why he doesn't get more love. He doesn't have an MVP candidate on the roster like Mike Malone does or like the Celtics or the 76ers or the Bucks do. All of those teams have guys that you can make legitimate arguments could be the MVP of this league. Ja Morant was in that conversation, but the second half of the year, for a variety of reasons, that's tailed off. You know, Ja may not even be All-NBA anymore. So you could be looking at a Grizzlies team that is number two in the NBA, in the Western Conference in particular, excuse me. They're like number five or so in the NBA. They may not have a single All-NBA team member. And if by definition that means that the players are good, but maybe not as great as others, the coaching job must be a pretty phenomenal one. So Taylor Jenkins deserves his flowers. Like I said, Mike Brown, Sacramento Kings, I think it's a historic season for them. He deserves that recognition. Taylor Jenkins should finish second. Will he? I don't know, but he would get my vote for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Taylor, you can put him up there with the coaches that have done a great job in this NBA season. Of course, Mike Brown is at the cream of the crop with the Sacramento Kings. Of course, Michael Malone in Denver, also Doc Rivers in Philly, also Mike Budenholzer with Milwaukee, of course, Joe Mazzulla with the Boston Celtics. And, you know, we talked again, I mentioned earlier about generational talent. Ja Morant, we know his talent. We know he's a generational talent, signing that exclusive Supermax extension this past offseason, that the new contract is going to kick in next season. We know about the issues. We know what he's gone through. We're not going to repeat that same song again. But what I will ask you is this, Joe. I know you've been covering the Grizzlies and following them for a long time. I want to ask you specifically about the treatment that he received in Florida. I know he was only there for maybe several days, 5 or 6 days or something like that, but do you have any insights on what treatment he received during his time in Florida?
Sure. He was there a little over a week, I believe. And he, you know, it was a lot of, sounded like social anxiety, stress, how to handle and cope with that stress. You know, counseling, not to talk out of turn, I'm not a counselor professionally or a therapist. It's something that is ongoing, right? Like when you go to therapy or when you go to try to get help, you don't just go for a week and say, oh, I'm magically cured. And Ja Morant, to his credit, has never said that. He has talked about how it's a day-to-day operation. And if you watch Ja interact with the media, if you watch him on the court playing the game, he just looks different now than he did before all of this happened. His personality has shifted a bit. He's more intrinsic. He blocks out a lot of the pregame and postgame attention potential developments. He's not as active on social media. I think that it's an ongoing process for him, and it's one that is not anywhere near complete. And where I'm hopeful is that the media continues to empathize with him. Not necessarily if he did anything wrong criminally, right? Like a Washington Post article came out again this week talking about, you know, the issues from this past summer. Nothing in terms of new information necessarily, but it just continues to be brought up, all of these circumstances that at best Ja put himself in a bad situation, right? Like, even if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, innocent until proven guilty, all those sorts of things, he shouldn't be, as a two-time NBA All-Star starter, be punching 17-year-olds in the face. Like, I think that's a fair thing to say, even as a person who covers the team and follows the team pretty closely. And Ja understands that. So I think that with him, it's an ongoing process. He's trying to balance who he was as a basketball player and as a personality with who he has to be moving forward. So much of what he was doing was inappropriate at best, illegal at worst. And again, there is no evidence of that being accurate, but those are some of the accusations that were thrown out against him. He has to find a way to move forward and merge what was so great about what Ja has been these first four seasons in the league with what he needs to be moving forward if he wants to truly be the next face of the National Basketball Association as guys like Steph Curry, LeBron James start to age out as Ja enters his
for a moment. We know that his father, T, has been very active at Grizzlies games since Ja has entered the NBA. What has T's presence been like at the Grizzlies games since Ja has been out of the facility in Florida? Has T continued to be himself, or has T kind of pulled back as well, as you mentioned about Ja pulling back and not being so having such of a presence on social media? What's the status with his father, T?
I think it's more muted, right? Similar to Ja in terms of how just a little bit more intrinsic. When Ja returned to the lineup, they wore those redemption hoodies that said redemption with Ja's picture on them. And, that was met with mixed reviews. I think that he's still there supporting his son, right? And one of the things that I got a kick out of throughout all of the coverage of this was how T. Morant needs to do more. Ja Morant is a grown man, right? Like, he's 23 years old. When I was 23 years old, my parents could give me all sorts of counsel, advice, but I was a grown man. You know, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm on my own. And Ja, obviously, different situation in terms of wealth and socioeconomic status, all those sorts of things. But Ja is kind of the figurehead of that family now because of the impact he has economically and the generational wealth that he has the potential to accrue if he handles himself the right way moving forward. So Ja Morant is going to do what Ja Morant wants to do. T. Morant, his father, can give advice and counsel, do the best that he can, but it's going to be up to Ja Morant to take accountability for these actions. And Ja has done that to this point. All T can be is a supportive parent at this stage and be there for his son, which is what he has done consistently, maybe not in the exact same manner, but he is still there for Ja, and that is a good thing to see as Morant works through these issues.
Indeed, it is a good thing to see T. Morant work with his son, and we're just hoping and praying that, better, bigger and brighter and better days lie ahead for Ja Morant as he continues, as you stated so beautifully, Joe. It's not something that is just here today, gone today. It's just an ongoing process. It's a day-to-day process, and hopefully that, as you said, Ja will find better ways to cope with the anxiety and the stress that he's dealing with. I mean, so young and to be given so much in such a short amount of time, that's definitely a lot to deal with, and we can do is just pray and hope for the best for him. And I want to talk now about FedEx Forum for a moment. There are a lot of great arenas in the NBA. There's the Chase Center in San Francisco, which is home to the Golden State Warriors. There's Madison Square Garden in New York City, home to the New York Knicks. You also have the Crypto.com arena, which is home to the Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's countless other NBA arenas, just to name a few. What makes FedEx Forum among the best in the NBA?
It's a very personal experience. There's not really a bad seat in the house, whether you're at the tippy top against the back of the arena, which I've been in the past, or whether you're down on the court, which I've also had a chance to do in the past as well. There is no bad seat. You feel like you're part of the action. There's a real strong energy. They've done a good job updating the video boards, the audio stuff, all those sorts of things, while still maintaining that personal experience and connection to the game. They get Memphis there with the Grizzlies organization, and that sounds silly to say out loud, but it's not generic. There are Memphis-specific things, songs that are played. The overall energy is very special within the city. The connection goes all the way back to the very first playoff run that they had with Pau Gasol, and then obviously making and winning a playoff series with Zach Randolph. All of that adds up to now, where people still remember those times, have started bringing their children, and that generational fandom that you want to see is starting to develop. And FedEx Forum is a wonderful place to attend a basketball game because of the connection that you can make to the atmosphere around you as well as the game itself. They don't call it the Grindhouse for nothing. Right? When you go to FedEx Forum, you know that you are in for a fight, not just against the Memphis Grizzlies, but at times it can feel like you're fighting the city of Memphis itself. And that this particular season has resulted in the best home court advantage in the NBA. Nobody in the NBA has as good of a home record as the Memphis Grizzlies. So FedEx Forum is a tough place to play, and that's especially going to be true with the playoffs starting up here next week. Grizzlies have home court advantage, at least for the first series coming up.
Indeed, that crowd is going to be rocking at FedEx Forum, and one of the best things about that venue is that it's located right on Beale Street, so that's definitely going to be very interesting.
Oh, yeah,
right there.
Too.
And that does help indeed. And let's stay with the city of Memphis for a moment. We know Memphis has a great sports history, of course, with basketball, University of Memphis. But I want to ask you about the NBA's popularity in Memphis, of course, with Ja Morant and with the success in recent years with the Grizzlies. What's the NBA's popularity like in Memphis?
It's never been higher. Ja Morant brings national attention to the team that has never existed before. He's a Nike-sponsored athlete, has his own shoe coming out. He has a sponsorship with Powerade. He is all over the place in terms of national media. Obviously, that's slowed down a little bit the last couple of months with the issues that we talked about on the show. But he is a player that brings a lot of eyes to the product. And, you know, whether it's ESPN having a Memphis Grizzlies day last season, whether it's the dramatic increase in national televised games, the Grizzlies are a hot ticket, and they've never been more popular nationally. On the local scale, it's pretty much the same. Maybe they're a little bit more popular. I would say kids maybe are a little bit more into the Grizzlies than they have been in the past. But again, with Memphis in particular, the Grit and Grind Grizzlies really kind of started that process back in the 2010, 2011, 2012 seasons. And this is just an evolution of that, right? Obviously, all good things must come to an end. Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, all out of the league. Mike Conley, towards the end of his career, I think he's with the Minnesota Timberwolves now. So you look at that team and that roster, and it really started something special, and it's continued and been amplified with Ja Morant and the crew that are currently inhabiting FedEx Forum. So it's as popular as it's ever been nationally, and I think it's safe to say that it's the same thing in the city as well.
Awesome, and you heard it from him. He is Joe Mullinax. He is the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast dedicated to covering the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies, and he's also a Memphis Grizzlies columnist for Bluff City Media and an NBA writer for the Step Back in SB Nation NBA. Thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Locked On Grizzlies, as well as Bluff City Media, the Step Back, and SB Nation NBA.
Sure. Well, you can subscribe, rate, comment, like, review, all those sorts of things, wherever you get your podcast with Locked On Grizzlies. We're going to have an episode every single day here in April, so you can get up every morning and start your day with Locked On Grizzlies, again, wherever you get podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Over at Bluff City Media, you can join over at Bluff City Media, get access to our insider content as the playoffs get underway. $5 a month, that's not bad at all, to get wonderful work, not just from myself, but other members of what was formerly known as Grizzly Bear Blues, that covered the Memphis Grizzlies for SB Nation. Now they're a part of Bluff City Media. You know, just lots of great content over at Bluff City Media, and between that and Locked On Grizzlies, we will have you more than ready for whoever the Memphis Grizzlies take on in the first round of the playoffs, I promise. So add Joe Mullinax on Twitter, follow all of my work there, and make sure you're checking out Locked On Grizzlies as well as Bluff City Media.
Awesome. Tell everybody, Joe, where they can find you on social media as well as Locked On Grizzlies, Bluff City Media, as well as the Step Back and SB Nation NBA.
Sure. There's a lot of Twitter accounts, so I'll be honest. I'll just say if you go to at Joe Mullinax, you can find everything there. I tweet out the episode for Locked On Grizzlies there every day. Anytime there's Bluff City Media work, I retweet it there. So a one-stop shop at Joe Mullinax, and then you can follow those other accounts from there.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He is Joe Mullinax. He's from the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, as well as Bluff City Media and the Step Back and SB Nation NBA. Joe, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. If ever you would come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more right after.
Bain, he ran right out of the play. Smart play by Desmond Bain. Bain now in his third season. He is an issue.
Yes, he is. Because he's gotten so much better at putting that ball on the floor.
Tyus Jones with Jaren Jackson running their half-court set. Of course, a great three-point shooter, Desmond Bane, and he's going to the line again. Desmond Bane trying to bang his way to it, and he got it. And great look for Bane. Wide open. Bane, he'll go to the rim. Why not? Nobody stopped him. Bane trying to get to the rim, and will again. Bane, and more in the paint. Bane, good Bane. It'll be tapped away by Jonas just to keep it away. And now Dylan Brooks gets the triple. Second chance points. It'll be Dylan Brooks. You know he's aggressive.
He's 3-3 from three.
Brooks. Trey battling through the pick. And it'll be a three-point opportunity for Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks in traffic with the flip.
A heck of a shot by Dylan Brooks.
On the deflection, Jaren Jackson Jr. And he does not get the roll, but second chance points. You just brought it up. This young man can hit that shot all the time, and that's Jaren Jackson Jr. Toss it inside. Jaren Jackson Jr.
See, now he's going to use his physicality. This is what I'm talking about.
Jaren Jackson, he wants to go back to a strong side, doesn't he? He got the left hand, and he worked it well. He's a righty. It'll be Jaren Jackson Jr. The floater will work. He wanted to go back to Jaren Jackson, and he'll get the layup. Bang. Thought about the three. It'll be Jaren Jackson, and he'll get the runner. Here comes that high screen for Jaren Jackson, and he got the layup out of it.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Oops.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Joe Mullinax, co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and columnist for Bluff City Media. These outlets cover the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies, and he's also an NBA writer for the Step Back and SB Nation NBA. Again, a big special thank you to Joe for appearing on the program. All right, before we get on out of here, of course, you know, this is the final weekend of the NBA regular season, so let's give you the upcoming games in the association. On April the 8th of 2023, we have the Denver Nuggets going up against the Utah Jazz. We also have the Portland Trail Blazers squaring off against the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Minnesota Timberwolves square off against the San Antonio Spurs. And then the final day of the NBA regular season will be on Sunday, April the 9th. So we have the Indiana Pacers going up against the New York Knicks, the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Toronto Raptors, the Detroit Pistons square off against the Chicago Bulls. The Philadelphia 76ers square off against the Brooklyn Nets. The Charlotte Hornets will go up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Atlanta Hawks will take on the Boston Celtics. The Houston Rockets square off against the Washington Wizards. The Orlando Magic will square off against the Miami Heat. The New Orleans Pelicans have a big game up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. This could determine a possible playoff spot or maybe a spot in the play-in tournament. We also have the Memphis Grizzlies going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Los Angeles Clippers square off against the Phoenix Suns. The San Antonio Spurs will square off against the Dallas Mavericks. The Sacramento Kings will square off against the Denver Nuggets. Should be a big game between Sacramento and Denver. Maybe a preview of this year's Western Conference Finals between the Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets. Then we have the Utah Jazz going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And then we have the Golden State Warriors going up against the Portland Trail Blazers. And that will conclude the 2022-2023 NBA regular season as we march into the play-in tournament and into the NBA playoffs. So definitely, you thought the regular season was outstanding? Huh. You ain't seen nothing yet as we march right into the play-in tournament and into the NBA Finals. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of At the Rim. Once again, a big special thank you to Joe Mullinax. Joe is the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and columnist for Bluff City Media. These outlets cover the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies, and he is also an NBA writer for the Step Back and SB Nation NBA. Again, a big special thank you to Joe for appearing on the program. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar.
You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.